Our first reading from Scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew. It is part of Jesus' teaching and preaching ministry early in his ministry in the area of Galilee. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This parable is one of a string of seven parables in the 13th chapter of Matthew alone. Jesus is not giving a lecture in dogmatic or practical theology here. Instead, the crowd is hearing images that either puzzle them or open and stretch their minds, or perhaps both. The parable of the sower is definitely a familiar one to steady churchgoers. Seed is thrown out onto hard-packed ground where it's easily seen by hungry birds, on stony ground where it can't take root, among thorny plants which choke off the growth, and some make it to good soil and survive. Reading the passage in preparation for the sermon, I initially spent a lot of time kind of digging around in the soil metaphor. And I apologize, that was just too easy a pun to pass up. I even went so far as to label each kind of soil with pithy descriptions of those in Jesus' day. The path, well, those were obtuse disciples who didn't quite get it. The rocky ground, those were fair weather followers of Jesus. Thorny soil, those were distracted disciples. Faithful farmers or kingdom crop growers were the ones who grew in the good soil. Kind of, it fits, right? I also thought about life today and what this parable might mean. Now, I have a good friend who often sighs and shakes his head and goes, "Ah, sometimes people are just so people-y." And I love this expression. It's an acknowledgement that people often bother and challenge us by doing nothing more than being themselves. People are so people-y. So I rolled around questions such as, how do people-y folk create good soil, or be good soil, or cultivate good soil? And then once I finished thinking about other people, I finally turned my gaze upon myself, wondering what kind of ground I was on with God. How many birds were in the field of my mind? How many rocks? How many thorns and distractions? What could I do to clean all this up? How could I turn myself into a well-tilled and weeded field? Then I began to worry that the odds were against me, because Jesus seems to tell the crowd in us that sowing the seeds of the kingdom results in abject failure 3 out of 4 times. 75% of the time, you can almost hear Jesus saying, the work that you do related to the divine reign will not yield a lot. Not something, but absolutely nothing. Imagine that kind of statistic on a church financial report or on a list of jobs or guides to health, wealth, and happiness. Yeah, here's what you can do, but you're going to fail a lot. Come and join us and fail repeatedly, spectacularly. See your efforts result in nothing 75% of the time. And it doesn't sound like one of the top 10 ways to wealth, or 3 steps to happiness, or even 30 days to a thinner you, does it? Now, all this focus on whether or not I or others are good soil led me to wonder why this isn't known as the parable of the types of ground. And maybe the fact that the name, the parable of the sower, has lasted over the centuries means that we maybe have some of our understanding of this parable backwards. What if the main point isn't about us? God already knows we're very people-y. What if it's about the sower? What if it's not about our successes and failures, our own birds and rocks and thorny weeds? What if its message is about the extravagance of the sower? About a sower unfazed by such concern, who tosses seeds everywhere with a holy abandon. A sower who's willing to feed the birds, whistle at the rocks, pick his way through the thorns, and still be able to shout hallelujah at the good soil. a soil who's confident that there is enough seed to go around and there will be a bountiful harvest. This really is a parable of a sower and not the parable of the soil. Then I think it can add a perspective to our understanding. The focus is not on us and our shortfalls. God already knows that. The focus is on the generosity of the sower, our Redeemer who does not obsess about the condition of the fields, who is not stingy with the seed, but casts it everywhere, good soil or bad, who is not judgmental or cautious, but seems willing to keep reaching into an inexhaustible seed bag, covering all creation with the fertile seed of his truth. The parable of the sower lets us know that in Christ, a new way of sharing seeds of grace has come into the world through him. It's not the way things were done before. It's not how the world might do it. And actually, that concept was what was expanded in our reading from Romans. After the gift of Christ and Christ's liberating work on the cross, Paul writes that we can now live in the Spirit. Being freed from the law and its consequences gives humanity a new possibility to live in such a way that the values of Christ become our own and that we bear good fruit. With the prospect of condemnation now removed by Christ, there is freedom, there's a new way of being. And this new way of life is powered by the Spirit, which enables us to be transformed in all that we are. The very Spirit of God is now alive in us and empowers us to live more fully as a people God has called us to be. As Paul put it, God will give life to your mortal bodies and also through his Spirit that dwells in you. I also ask myself, why does Jesus tell this parable to the swelling crowds and to his newbie disciples? This is Jesus' third teaching discourse in Matthew, and he knows the road ahead will get increasingly more difficult and harrowing. Following Jesus offers countless opportunities to learn from failure. Getting a B will be the least of anyone's worries the nearer they get to the cross. Jesus has already warned his disciples about coming persecutions. And in the very next chapter of Matthew is when John the Baptist will be beheaded. God's present and God's coming kingdom will not come without great resistance, and we can't accuse Jesus of trying to cover up that truth. But keep planting anyway, he tells us. Be an extravagant sower. Keep throwing around seeds like Oprah Winfrey used to give away prizes and cars on her show. Don't be surprised when the yield may seem to be nothing at first, but rejoice when you are surprised at the harvest time that it is a hundredfold return. Then keep going and keep throwing that seed. This year, reading the parable of the sower, I thought, well, this explains a lot. Because lately, I don't know about you, but I found myself having a bit of despair about the state of the world. The concentric circles of me, my family, the community, the nation, the world, all creation are filled, it seems, with problems, more problems than I can address or solve. It seems that there are hard paths, rocks, weeds, and thorns at every turn, and there are times I wonder, what's up with this, God? Is the seed insufficient? Is the sower inept? The soil hopelessly stripped of the nutrients needed to produce crops? The parable of the extravagant sower says no. Resistance to God's reign of justice, mercy, and grace is real and inevitable, but ultimately God's victory is certain. In the meantime, there will be bursts of amazing, life-giving, abundant growth. And practically, our focus should not be on the soil or on the sea, but on the gregarious, abundant, foolish-looking daily sowing that we are called to do also with the Word of God. So let's start throwing seeds. Let's start to failing spectacularly for Jesus. Let's start and so we can rejoice at abundant, unexpected harvests. And as Carter Warren says in interpreting this text, maybe often unrewarding, but sometimes the kingdom will come, breaking into our lives on earth as it will be fully in heaven. And we will have the unspeakable joy of being part of it when it does. So keep on going and keep on throwing. Amen.